From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The Fort Myers Police Department reports this week that crime in the city is down overall for the first half of 2015. However, unsolved shootings, including the death of a 5-year-old boy last fall and a 12-year-old girl who survived 3 gunshot wounds earlier this month, is raising concerns among residents. We'll explore community police relations along with a recent proposal for a gun buyback program in Fort Myers. Plus, the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark decision on same-sex marriage this past June has created a perception among many that the fight for LGBT equality has been won. Advocates say that's not the case. A look at the status of LGBT rights in Florida. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Same-sex marriage became legal in Florida in January following a U.S. District Court judge's ruling that the state's marriage ban violated the U.S. Constitution's equal protection and due process requirements. State lawmakers also officially removed the state's ban on gay adoption from the books. Then in June, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered a landmark ruling for LGBT advocates, finding that states cannot ban same-sex marriage. To some, these high-profile decisions have created a perception that the fight for LGBT equality has been won. Advocates, however, say plenty of barriers remain in a broad range of categories, from legal guardianship of children to employment and housing discrimination. Earlier this month, the first same-sex couple to be married in Florida filed a lawsuit after the State Bureau of Vital Statistics wouldn't allow a hospital to list both of them as parents on the birth certificates of their newborn twins. Meanwhile, Republican State Representative Holly Rauschein of Key Largo will renew an effort in the 2016 Florida legislative session to prohibit workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be exploring the barriers that remain for Florida's LGBT residents. Joining us now is State Representative Holly Rauschein, whose district covers portions of Miami-Dade County and all of Monroe County. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're also speaking with Carlos Guillermo Smith. He's the State Government Affairs Manager for Equality of Florida. That's the state's largest LGBT advocacy organization. Previously, he was Chief of Staff to former State House Representative Joe Saunders, who became one of the first 2 openly gay people elected to the State House when he took office. Carlos is also a candidate for the State House District 49 race. That district is in the greater Orlando area. Carlos Guillermo Smith, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And I invite listeners to join the conversation. Connect with our guests with your phone calls to 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post comments or questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or follow the live Twitter feed using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Representative Rauschein, I wanted to begin with you. First of all, tell us about the measure you filed for the 2016 session as it relates to preventing workplace discrimination against LGBT members of the state's workforce.
Sure. House Bill 45 is basically the intent is to prohibit LGBT discrimination in the workplace, in housing, as well as public accommodation.
And what's the current status of Florida law when it comes to discrimination protections in the workplace for members of the LGBT community? Can people be fired, for instance, just for their perceived sexual orientation or gender identity?
Well, yeah, you can actually still be fired or kicked out of your home or not allowed in a hotel or what have you if you are an LGBT person in Florida. And so what the language of House Bill 45 seeks to do is to eliminate that discrimination that, unfortunately still exists in our great state.
How did this issue come up on your radar? I mean, have you spoken with constituents who have actually experienced some of these things?
Yes, I've actually spoken to Floridians all around the state, not just, my constituents. Mm-hmm. And I also heard a lot from the business community, and from different municipalities and counties, and I kind of just, rode that wave in deciding to, sponsor the legislation on my own. And actually, I was prime co-sponsor with Representative Joe Saunders a couple years in a row, and then, decided that it was time to become the primary sponsor. And, you know, again, hearing from the business community, and, you know, this is a great kind of public policy for the state of Florida. It's got a tremendous economic impact, and I think is, you know, the right direction that we need to move in.
You know, and as I'm sure we all know, Governor Rick Scott's goals for the state have focused very heavily on, you know, improving the economy, creating jobs, getting companies to expand in or relocate to Florida. Does not having a competitive workforce act on the books adversely affect those goals, do you think?
I think it does. And, you know, we're trying to recruit the best and the brightest from all around the nation, all around the world. And so Florida passing a measure such as the Competitive Workforce Act, I think will send a strong message nationally, globally, to folks that we welcome you, no matter your status, no matter your sexual orientation, your gender ID. If you're good for Florida, we want you. And, you know, I'm hoping that that we'll see this pass in Florida this year.
And Carlos Smith, would you care to weigh in on this as well?
Absolutely, and I have to applaud Representative Rashine for her leadership on this issue. You know, having bipartisan support in the Florida legislature is absolutely crucial, and Representative Rashine has been leading the charge from the Republican caucus since she became the bill sponsor last year, and before that when she was the primary co-sponsor with former Representative Saunders. And to her credit, you know, we've been able to bring an incredible bipartisan coalition of legislators to support this bill. Last year, we closed out session, even though we weren't able to move the bill to the House floor. We were able to secure 12 Republican co-sponsors and actually 31 co-sponsors for the measure in the House altogether. So, you know, what that really demonstrates is how broad the support is for this bill, how the bill really is not even controversial. You know, 73% of Florida residents, polled recently by the Bob Graham Center for Public Service, agreed that discrimination should not happen against the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community in the workplace. And many actually thought that that was already the law of the land. So we certainly have a lot of educating to do. But what's really great, and I just want to underscore what Representative Rashine has said about the business coalition behind this bill, a separate coalition actually was formed called the Florida Compete Coalition. And that is a group of over 400 small and large businesses in Florida that have basically sent a message to lawmakers and gathered for the purpose of saying that we need to pass this very important Florida Competitive Workforce Act. That includes businesses like Disney, Darden, Florida Blue, Haskell Construction, Tech Data. It's such a large coalition of voices that at this point it's hard to ignore in the Republican-led Florida legislature.
Carlos, are there also businesses out there, I'm wondering, who wouldn't even consider setting up shop in Florida because these protections don't exist yet?
Yeah, absolutely. What we saw last year, or actually earlier this year in Indiana, when the legislature made an unprecedented move to sanction discrimination by businesses, was we saw a huge revolt by businesses in that state who threatened to leave, and many of them actually followed through on that threat, and also businesses from outside of the state of Indiana and around the world who basically boycotted Indiana for having such a hostile and non-inclusive economic environment in their state. So we certainly know that sending a message that Florida is open for business and is welcoming of the diverse culture that we want in our state to be competitive is certainly going to be good for our economy in the short term and in the long term.
And Carlos, I know Equality Florida has, you know, naturally been involved in efforts in support of a Competitive Workforce Act. Can you tell us a little bit about Transaction Florida and what its board members aim to do?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Transaction Florida is a part of the Equality Florida structure that really focuses on inclusivity for the transgender community in the workplace. It's led by Gina Duncan, who's our Director of Transgender Inclusion. And basically what the entire purpose is making sure that businesses have the materials that they need, that they have the knowledge that they need, and they have pretty much that everything they need to be as inclusive as possible when setting up their human resource policies and making sure that they retain the best and brightest talent and really understand transgender workforce issues. And that's been a huge success. We're really proud of that.
All right. And I'm just sticking with that issue for a moment. State Representative Jason Broder of Sanford had proposed a measure that would allow adoption agencies in Florida to turn away same-sex couples or individuals on the basis of a moral or religious objection, at the same time that lawmakers were taking steps to formally remove the state's gay adoption ban from the books. Do either of you know if Broder or any other lawmakers plan to bring that proposal back in 2016?
Carlos, do you want to take that one, and then maybe I can chime in?
Yeah, absolutely, Representative Rashlin. Well, I certainly hope that bills like that don't come back up this legislative session because they bring Florida in the wrong direction. What was really unfortunate to see was that last year we learned that sometimes in the Florida legislature, no good deed will go unpunished. And on the left hand, we repealed the 1977 ban on gay adoption, and Representative Broder's adoption discrimination bill clearly re-enshrined that discrimination, that license to discriminate against prospective gay couples, back into statute. And it did it in a way that we're all too familiar with. It was by using freedom of religion as a license to discriminate. But what made this bill so egregious wasn't just that it was discriminatory towards LGBT families, towards interracial families, towards single women, towards folks who were in interfaith relationships because it let them discriminate for any reason. It also violated the Florida Constitution's no aid provision, which says that no government entity or no entity that is doing the work of government and receives state funds can use those funds to broaden their religious beliefs and to advocate for their religious beliefs, which this bill clearly did, and I'm very, very glad that it failed in the process.
Representative Ross, go ahead.
Sure. And thanks, Carlos, so much for joining us today. It's awesome to hear from you, and I've been so thankful to work alongside you. So with that said, John, basically Representative Broder's measure was unnecessary. It was not needed. It was a problem seeking a solution, and like Carlos said, moved Florida in the wrong direction. Thankfully, it was defeated in the House, and, it just was an exercise that was unneeded in this realm of public policy. So I, too, was disappointed, and will hopefully we will not see a measure like that come up again this year, but, never say never in the legislature.
And I had mentioned earlier that the first same-sex couple to be legally married in Florida is suing the state over a hospital not being allowed to name both of the mothers on the birth certificates of their recently born twins. Carlos, can you give us some more background on that case?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Equality Florida Institute is actually one of the ones who initiated the litigation. We joined with NCLR, which is the National Center for Lesbian Rights, to enforce the Supreme Court decision, because what the Supreme Court decision in June said was not only was it reaffirming the freedom of same-sex couples to marry, but along with that ruling came the right to access every single benefit and protection of marriage, period. And what has happened since then is the Bureau of Vital Statistics has not been interpreting that ruling the way that they should. And what's happening is many lesbian partners who are married are going to hospitals and the birth mother is giving birth to their newborn child, and they are not being extended the right of parental presumption. And the non-birth mother, even though the couple is married, is not being listed on the birth certificate as they should be legally required to do. What's so heartbreaking about this is couples are going in and they're starting their families and they're having their newborns, and immediately they're being given this heartbreaking denial of their relationship with their newborn, which is really, really sad, and that's why we decided to sue the state. But luckily, the case has immediately been referred to Judge Hinkle. Judge Hinkle was the same judge who was involved with reaffirming the freedom to marry in Florida in January before the Supreme Court of the United States did it in June. And so we are confident that we are going to win this lawsuit and couples are going to be treated equally in our state in every single way without exception.
Now, Carlos, just kind of getting into the legal minutia here, you know, if Equality Florida and if this couple wins this court case, will that ruling only apply to them, or would that also mean a change in Florida statute as it relates to the State Bureau of Vital Statistics? So, I mean, in other words, if they win, would a lawmaker still have to file a bill in order for this to apply to other same-sex couples, or would the ruling then have a larger impact?
Well, you know, I suppose it depends on what the ruling says. We hope that the ruling will be strong and clear enough that legislation will not be necessary, although no court ruling ever cleans up statute. That's always the responsibility of the Florida legislature to go in and finally, you know, clear the books and repair the glitches, if you will, in the statutory language, not because doing that will necessarily change the law, because the court would have hopefully in this case already ruled and that is binding, but just to make sure that the statute is in sync and has codified the court ruling, that would certainly be something that we would hope to happen if we win this lawsuit.
All right. And, you know, just going back to same-sex marriage itself, is the state compliant with the U.S. District Court judge's ruling from last year that struck down the state's gay marriage ban? From what I understand, gender-neutral, you know, marriage applications and certificates aren't really going on statewide.
Right. Well, it seems like so far the couple of issues that we've had have to do with the birth certificate inequality that we just discussed, and we have made serious progress, and it pretty much is, I'll have to say, a done deal on the issue of the marriage licenses listing Spouse 1 and Spouse 2. That was something that required some more work behind the scenes to make sure that it happened. But what I am proud to say is that in Florida, unlike in other states, since the freedom to marry was recognized in January in our state, not a single same-sex couple in any of the 67 counties in our state was denied a marriage license once that ruling came down. So, for the most part, it's been a smooth transition, and we're working on the rest of the case and holding the state accountable.
All right. And I wanted to go back to, you know, issues facing transgender folks as well. And again, looking at the last legislative session, in response to a transgender inclusive human rights ordinance that had passed in Miami-Dade County late last year, State Representative Frank Artiles had proposed a bill that would actually send someone to jail if they used a public restroom facility, changing room, or locker room that didn't correspond with their biological sex at birth. Do either of you have any idea whether or not that proposal will come back in 2016?
Yeah, I can speak to that.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it may be coming back in 2016, and it's absolutely a terrible bill. And again, the wrong direction that Florida needs to be moving. There's so many issues with that bill. I don't think we have enough time on the radio show left. Again, it does the opposite of what 45, you know, seeks to do. And I've heard, and I hope this is not the case, that it may be the sponsor may be filing it again. And I don't know if, Carlos, you want to follow up on that?
Well, again, I certainly hope not. And this absurd legislation really is a bridge too far. I mean, really the practical implementation of this bill means that transgender Floridians would be criminalized simply for using the public restroom. It's a very mean-spirited bill, but what it would also do is it would compel businesses to discriminate against their own employees and customers and invalidate their internal human rights policies. Many of the human rights or human resource policies that we championed earlier on this call. It was free impact. It's inclusive on business. And plus, it's an insulting, mean-spirited way to try to drive transgender Floridians into private life, which is really disgusting.
All right. And, you know, keeping on this issue of you know, what folks in Florida's transgender community face, one major concern One major concern is simply the level of aggression and animosity that does exist. Last summer, a transgender woman was found dead and burned behind a car rental company building in Fort Myers. Around the nation, I know more than 20 transgender people have been murdered or their deaths have been investigated as murdered. Two of those in Florida that I know of. Do protections exist on any kind of state level for transgender people?
Actually, you bring up a really, really good point. The Florida hate crimes law is not inclusive based on sexual, it is inclusive on sexual orientation, but it is not on gender identity or expression, which is the transgender community. Now, luckily, the federal hate crimes law, the Matthew Shepard Act that passed in first year President Obama's term as president, is inclusive of the transgender community. But what it has not done is it has not stopped the murder of transgender Americans. And what this is a particularly horrible problem with is the fact that transgender women of color are disproportionately impacted, not just by crime, but also by hate violence and by murder. That is a very serious problem that is going to require a real conscious effort by the legislature to understand and acknowledge that these crimes are happening, because trans lives really do matter, and this is an issue that Equality Florida feels very passionately about and is going to be very vocal about it.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show, so we'll have to leave it there. But thanks so much to my guests, Holly Rothschein and Carlos Guillermo Smith. Great to speak with you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Holly Rothschein is the Republican state representative for Florida House District 120, covering portions of Miami-Dade and all of Monroe County. She's sponsoring the Competitive Workforce Act in the 2016 regular state legislative session. Carlos Guerrero Smith is the Government Affairs Manager for Equality Florida and a Democratic candidate for Florida State House District 49. There's more information on the show as well as an archive of past shows at our website, wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers Luke Martin and Richard Chinqui. This is WGCU Fort Myers 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.